In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear viewers, brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another program from the series Open Talk, coming to you live from the holy city of Qom, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Inshallah, today I have my brother with me, Brother Abbas Munfarid, who will later on join us in the program. And for now, we will introduce the topic of today's program. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the topic of unity and brotherhood in Islam, and we will have some dear guests with us who will be answering our questions. Inshallah, we'll have calls from the United States, and we'll have guests within the studio that will help us in carrying out the program. We're going to have a quick break, come back, and carry on with the discussion. Please stay with us.
Those who want to cause disunion are neither of the Sunnis nor of the Shias. They are the directors of the superpowers, and they are serving them. They want to help the enemies of Islam to overcome the Muslims. Ayatollah Khomeini rahmatullah. If there happens a dispute between different Muslim nations and races, or between the Sunni brothers and the Shia brothers, it will be to the disadvantage of all of us, of all Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established a brotherhood, and the unity is the responsibility of all Muslims towards the establishment. One who believes in Allah, his final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, and follows the Holy Quran is a brother in faith. Unity requires that if some misfortune happened to you, all the other brothers, wherever they may be, sympathize with you. If you are happy, all will be happy too. Ayatollah Khomeini. We must protect the unity of the Muslim world. When a Muslim country has fallen into the clutches of the hypocrites or the disuniting superpowers, it becomes a responsibility of all Muslim countries to step in and defend the oppressed brother countries in faith, as we would defend our blood brothers against the attack from strangers. With the Islamic Revolution of Iran began the fight for the unity of the Muslim world, which was one of the goals of Khomeini. 34 years later, Muslim brother countries have defended each other in revolutions for the freedom of the people and attacks on their countries. It is the unity of brotherhood which continues to bring victory after victory in the revolt against the tyrannical regimes. The victory of the Muslims over these regimes is the victory of truth over falsehood, the ultimate goal of Islam. One Muslim brother's freedom is another Muslim brother's hope. And the freedom of one Muslim nation is the strength of the Muslim world.
Welcome back, dear viewers. Inshallah, today, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to discuss the topic of unity in Islam. And as you know, this topic is a very important topic. It has many different results in our lives as Muslims today. Inshallah, today we have with us Brother Sheikh Agha Muhammadi from the International Institute of Islamic Studies, and also a student of the Hawza Ilmiya here in the city of Qom for a number of years. Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, Salaamu Alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin. Salaamu Alaikum to you and to all brothers and sisters all around the world watching and listening to this program. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this chance and tawfiq to have a good discussion today and inshallah to be fruitful for the audience.
Thank you very much. So inshallah, before carrying on with the discussion, I have here with me Brother Abbas Munfarid, who's going to help us with carrying out the discussion. We're going to go to him. He's going to let you know how you can contact us and let us know of your opinions, suggestions and comments.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the merciful, dear viewers from inside Iran and overseas, welcome to another episode of Open Talk on Sahar Universal Network. It's a great pleasure for me and Brother Mahdi to host you in this program. Of course, the purpose of this program is to open up your minds to new ideas and concepts for better ways of living. This program is yours. Stay with us till the end of the program. On today's program, as my brother Mahdi said, today we're going to talk about unity and brotherhood in Islam. First, let me remind you of a nice saying from the Holy Prophet, "All Muslims are brothers and they are like parts of a single body. If one part hurts, the other parts will feel it." Of course, today we're going to talk about unity and brotherhood. We'll be back with you, Brother Mahdi.
Thank you very much, Brother Abbas. So, Sheikh Agha Muhammad, to start out with the first question, Obviously, the first question that we would have to discuss in this regard is the importance that Islam places and has given to this issue of unity. And then we'll get down to later on what exactly we mean by this unity that we're talking about, to take it out from this this concept and to make it more of a practical guideline for our day-to-day lives. So if you could explain just a little bit, please, about the importance that Islam has placed for this concept.
Very good. The most important thing in Islam, the very first, principle in Islam, yes, is Tawheed, and to believe in one God. And on the other side, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran that the greatest sin is to believe, to deny Allah, or to believe partners for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very interesting that we see in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions unity among Muslims beside Tawheed. Yes. And on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions dispute and to be divided beside shirk, yes, denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Anfal, verse 46, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Obey Allah, obey His Messenger, and don't dispute.
Yes.
Don't be divided among your own selves.
True.
This is from one side. And on the other side, you see in Surah Rum, verse 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Don't be from the non-believers. مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ. Those who divided in their religion.
Yes.
In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we revealed upon you, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to all prophets, one thing.
Yes.
And it is Islam. Inshallah, we'll talk about it. We gave you all the prophets. We gave the notion of religion, and we told all of them not to be divided.
True.
So you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has such emphasis on the concept of unity,
yes,
that you see that after mentioning Tawheed, to believe in one God, to believe in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that mentions the concept of unity among believers.
True.
So you see how important it is that the opposite mention clarifies that point very good, that you see very well, in fact, that you see to dispute, to be divided,
yes,
is besides shirk. It's besides denying Allah.
It's associated with that in another sense.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So I guess what a lot of our viewers are thinking right now, first question that comes to mind, is if we are speaking of unity, mm-hmm, amongst people in general, what does Islam have to say when it comes to unity with people who do not believe in a specific religion, or people of other religions? Well, that we'll probably get to later on, but let's just take it from here that, okay, what if I have a friend, for example, who is an atheist? He doesn't believe in God. How am I supposed to have unity with him? And if that's the case, in what way am I supposed to have unity with him?
Imam Ali alayhi salam, as the one who is the Khalifa and the one who is the governor of not only his country, but you can say many parts of the world,
yes,
at his time, he has a letter to one of his commanders, Malik bin Ashtar.
Yes.
When he Imam dispatched him to Egypt, he has given him a letter. In fact, it's a kind of doctrine for him how to manage his Egypt and his country.
True.
You know, I always tell my brothers and sisters that it is very important to know. You know, sometimes we say that a poet has said these things.
Yes.
A poet who has said, someplace in a very warm and nice place, or in a mountain beside the sea, and saying some poem. No, he is the commander, he is the ruler, he is the best politician, not only at his own time, but you can say during the history.
Yes.
Such a person is talking. So it is so great, mm-hmm, a politician, a commander, a ruler,
yeah,
is telling these things. Imam, when he comes to people, non-believers, Imam says, totally people are of two categories. He classifies all people in two categories. فَإِنَّهُمْ سِنْفَانِ. And Imam says, أَخٌ لَكَ فِي الدِّينِ أَوْ نَذِيرٌ لَكَ فِي الْقَلْقِ. Mm-hmm. Whether people are your fellows in creation,
yes,
or your brothers in your religion.
True.
They are not out of these two. So if they are your brother, so it's clear that they are your brother, and inshallah we will later talk how should you be with your brothers. But if they are not in the same religion with you, if they don't, even if they don't believe in God, at least they are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Because they are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least they have this little thing in unity with you, that yeah. You have been created by one God.
Yes.
Because of that, you have to know and you have to respect them.
True.
In a special way. In fact, we don't, as a ruler or as a partner or as a friend or as, I don't know, a classmate.
Okay.
Of course, we have a special focus on those who are believers, that they are our brothers.
Yes.
But those people, even who do not believe in God, at mm-hmm. least they have this humanity in common with us.
Yes.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, and it is very, you know, nice saying of Imam, it's a very long saying, to one of his companions, Abdullah bin Jundab, and you can say it's the Shia doctrine. If anyone wants to know what Shia is,
yeah.
it is available in the book Tuhaful Ughul and also in other books. In some parts, Imam says you have to treat all people in the best way possible. And Imam says, look at the sun.
True.
Ala tara shamsahu ashraqat ala al-abrar wal-fujjar.
True.
When sun shines, it doesn't distinguish between bad people and good people. It shines to all.
Upon everyone.
And when the rain pours down, it comes for all people.
Yeah.
It doesn't distinguish between salihin and khati'in.
True.
Between those who practice religion and those who do not accept religion.
True.
And Imam says you have to be like this.
Yes.
Exactly the same notion that we have with Jesus alayhi salam in Quran.
Yes.
That Jesus says, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتَ. Wherever I am, no matter with believers or non-believers, I am blessing for them. Mm-hmm. And wherever, even if I'm not addressing human being, if I am treating some animals, some plants, he says I am blessing for them.
True.
So you see, this is the approach that a believer in Allah takes, even with those who do not believe in God.
Yes, thank you very much. So if I'm not mistaken, the point that you were trying to make was that although one, we might be associated or acquainted with people who do not believe in God, do not believe at all in a specific religion, but because we still share certain qualities with them, we can still be united with them in those qualities, in those humanitarian qualities, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you very much. So, I believe that Sheikh Ali Sa'id Kulaini is with us from the United States. If he can hear us, I would like to say salam to this brother. And Sheikh Ali Sa'id Kulaini is a speaker, a religious speaker in the United States. He's been there for quite a while, and he's been spreading the message of Islam for quite a while. Sheikh Kulaini, if you can hear my voice, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much. I guess my brother Abbas Munfarid will have some questions for you pertaining to this topic that we're discussing, inshallah, and then we'll carry on the discussion from there. My friend Abbas.
Thank you for joining us in this program. It's a great honor for you, for us, that you have, that we have you in this program. First, let me ask you this question. What do we mean by unity among Muslims?
One cause. That cause a lot of times is that we believe in Allah, or we may believe in those of the household. And with these types of unity, we come together with one another and discuss our differences, but yet we unite in our beliefs. Even though we may have different ideologies, like some may believe in the school of the Khalifa, and some may believe in the school of Akhli Bay, but yet we still come together because we have one common cause, that's the belief in Allah to each other. You follow me? Because I don't know if you really hear me. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. All right, because I'm calling long distance. This is what unity means, that people come together with one another, regardless of what type of differences they may have. When it comes down to a common cause that they're trying to achieve, inshallah.
Yes, let me ask you my question from a different point of view. Of course, strength lies in unity and the weakness is in division. How can Muslim countries be closer with each other?
You said with the strength, how can Muslim countries come together with one another?
Yes, yes, yes.
The thing is, we have to look past all our differences with one another. And come together because we all believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla. We all believe in Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we all believe in the angels and the deities and so much things in common. Everything else in which we have differences, we could discuss with one another in a social manner. Because at the end of the day, as long as the two Muslim countries are fighting with one another, enemies could come in and divide them. And without unity with one another, this is how come we have so much conflict with one nation and the other, and they both Muslim countries. Because we don't try to come together and realize that we are all Muslims at the end of the day, regardless of what school of thought or ideology we may somewhat follow.
Yes, thank you. If we had more time again, we would be with you. Thank you very much. Brother Mahdi.
Thank you very much, Brother Abbas. And thank you, Sheikh Saad Kolain. Inshallah, we'll have more questions, inshallah, for you. If you would stay connected, that would be great, inshallah. So, Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, what we discussed up until now was the importance of unity. And the other thing that we discussed was unity when it comes down to people who don't believe in a specific religion. Atheists, for example. And what Islam has to say in that regard. And you mentioned the letter of Imam Ali to Malik Ashtar when he was sent to govern the province, or so to speak, of Egypt. Now, I guess the next thing we would have to discuss is how Islam suggests that one should unite with people of the book, as they're referred to in the Quran many, many times, and there's special emphasis on this in the Quran. So if you could expand on that a little bit, especially that a lot of the people out there in the West, I guess a majority of them are believers. For example, they are Christians. There's a great majority of them, sometimes Jews as well. If you could please elaborate on that.
I have to add to the previous point I made that we have to look for any, even a tiny pretext to be kind to people. But it doesn't mean that we have to give up our own beliefs.
Yes.
At the same time that we have our beliefs as a Muslim.
Yes.
No matter where we are, okay? But at the same time, we are kind to all people. When it comes to people of the book, it's of a higher importance.
Yes.
And value. It is interesting to know that in Quran, we don't have the people of the books, because we have different books. We have Torah, we have Bible, we have Zabur. And we have Quran, so different books.
Yeah.
But Allah never says people of the books, people of the book.
True.
The point is that according to Quran, there is a book with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that sometimes it calls Ummul Kitab.
Yes.
And these all books, Torah, Bible, Quran, these are different versions of that book.
True. Different levels of
different levels,
okay.
Yeah, different levels of the same book.
Yes.
And so or we are from the same root.
Okay.
In Surah Shura verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained for you a religion coming from Noah, then Abraham. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the verse, then
yes.
Abraham, then Musa, Moses alayhi salam, then Jesus, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And all these religions are Islam.
True.
Of course, they didn't call themselves Muslim or Islam, but you know, Islam literally means submission.
Yeah.
So all these religions go back to be, in fact, obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
True.
So when it comes to people of the book, we see that Quran in fact invites them and calls them, says Ya Ahl al-Kitab Ta'ala ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum. At least let's have this, if you think that we are different, at least we have this point in common,
yeah,
that we all believe in one God.
True.
But that can be a common point for us to be united with each other.
True.
I'm telling that it doesn't mean that we have to give up our own beliefs,
yes,
but we have to be together, we have to be united.
Okay.
This way we can have a better society, we can have a better way of life for all people. And you see, this is how they behaved at the time of the Prophet Muhammad himself and Aimma alayhim salam.
Yes.
Even, you know, sometimes we have these stories that even they borrowed things from each other.
Yeah,
and they gave it back. So you had
between religions.
Yeah,
yes.
Christians, Jews, Muslims living together.
Yes,
this is not the picture that unfortunately some media are trying to depict from Islam and their other religions. It is not the correct one.
Yes,
when you look at how they lived during the history, how they were connected and how peacefully they lived with each other.
Thank you very much. From what I remember, I mean, I hope that you will correct me if I'm mistaken, but from what I remember, there were many interactions between Imam Ali in particular and Jews and Christians. I remember that a lot of times they would come to him, as you mentioned, to entrust him with something that they wanted him to keep or for them. Or for example, having a Jew doctor coming and curing him in terms of his sickness, if I'm not missing it. Is that correct?
It's right, and there are lots of such stories
we
have in the history mentioned.
Yes. Thank you very much. So, inshallah, we will carry on with the discussion. Before we do, though, we're going to go to my friend, Brother Munfarid. He's going to let you know more about some of the suggestions or the questions that were asked from the program. And then when we get back, we'll carry on with the discussion from there.
Thank you very much. First, let me start by a nice verse in the Noble Quran, and hold fast all together by the rope which Allah has stretched out for you, and be not divided among yourselves. Among Muslims should prevail the spirit of cooperation, fraternity, unity, and a sense of love to defend our Islamic community. What about the ways that you can contact us? If you have any access to the internet, you can go on the internet. Our webpage is Open Talk Sahar TV. We can take your messages on Facebook and Twitter. If you have, you can go there. You can post your comments and raise your questions. And our experts are here to answer your questions. If you have any access to YouTube, you can go on YouTube, watch our videos, and give your comments. You can also get in touch with us via phone. Our phone lines are subtitled during the program. You can call us and join us in this program. This program is yours. Stay with us till the end of the program. Of course, your comments can contribute to having better programs in the future. Brother Matthew.
Thank you very much. So I believe before we carry on with the discussion from here, we're going to take a quick break. And then, inshallah, when we come back, we have some really, really important questions that we will want to ask from the presence of Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, and we'll carry on with the discussion from there. Please stay with us.
وحدت کلمه مسلمین همه، وحدت کلمه اقلیت های مذهبی.
چند راه بیشتر ندارن، یک راه عمده آنها همین مسئله شیعه و سنی است که بگن جمهوری اسلامی ایران جمهوری شیعه است و او رو در مقابل جامعه بزرگ اهل تسنن قرار بدهن، تعصبات مذهبی، احساسات مذهبی را وارد میدان میکنند. این چیز بسیار خطرناک و مهم است و دارن میکنند این کار را. دستهای سیاست بیکار نیستن. ما همه همتمون باید این باشد که این خواست استکباری را خونسا کنید. همه باید هوشیار باشند. ملت ما، گفتگان ما، مبلغین ما.
دما القى شخص شيعي غير معروف عند الشيعة اساسا خطابا في لندن اساء فيه لام المؤمنين السيدة عائشة وبعض صحابة الرسول صلى الله عليه واله وسلم ورضوان الله عليهم. وقامت بعض الفضائيات العربية الفتنوية بترويج وتكرار هذه الشتيمة، وكادت الفتنة أن تقع. أصدر الإمام الخامنئي فتواه المعروفة وقال: يحرم النيل من رموز إخواننا السنة، فضلا عن اتهام زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وآله بما يخل بشرفها. بل هذا الأمر ممتنع على نساء الأنبياء، خصوصا سيدهم الرسول الأعظم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وفقع عين الفتنة. النتيجة التي تؤكد عليها إيران والقائد والرئيس والحكومة والشعب: إذا أخطأ مسلم لا تحاسب المسلمين جميعا، إذا أخطأ مسيحي لا تحاسب المسلمين مسيحيين جميعا، إذا أخطأ شيعي لا تحاسب الشيعة، إذا أخطأ سني لا تحاسب السنة. لماذا نركض سريعا برجلينا إلى الفتنة التي تريدها أمريكا؟
Thank you very much for being with us in this program. Dear guest, here I have a question. Should we allow the differences of religion, race, language, and nation to disrupt unity among Muslims? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Should we allow the differences of religion, race, language, and nation to disrupt unity among Muslims?
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't allow these things to disrupt unity amongst one another. Because you see that in the Muslim society with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was other people that had different religions that lived amongst the Islamic society, and it was governed either through his book or through the Islamic rule. So we ourselves should take that as an example, and we should allow these things to disrupt the Islamic unity, but push on for the Islamic unity. Because by us pushing on to the Islamic unity and showing some type of unification in how we do things, this is an example for people that's not Muslim to see Islam in inshallah's purest form, and one day maybe even accept Islam. Because they see there should be no friction amongst the two parties, even though they may have somewhat different views amongst one another.
Let me ask you this question. Don't you think that by unity, Muslim countries can become the superpower of the world?
As long as people are divided, people could come, the enemy could come, right? And while your two are fighting with one another, the enemy could come into your country, and it could influence the people in your country. It could maybe influence you, and it could divide you even more, to the fact that it doesn't matter to you that you're killing your own Muslim brother, your own Muslim sister.
Thank you very much, Brother Mahdi, if you have any questions.
Thank you very much. So inshallah, we'll carry on with the discussion with Sheikh Agha Mohammadi. And if you could speak up just a little bit more. In regards to what we discussed up until now was mainly based on unity with non-Muslims, especially when it comes down to the people of the book. And that very nice point that you pointed out, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He doesn't say the people of the books, even though they're the people of the books and we are the people of the books. But it's interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's speaking of these people, He only mentions one book, people of the book. So now we're going to move on from that a little bit, and now we're going to come down to, you know, this concept that's mentioned in the Quran, the al-ummat al-wahida, this united Muslim community or community, ummat al-wahida. It doesn't say anything about Muslims in particular. It says ummat al-wahida. If you could elaborate on that, please, a little bit.
When you ask people, scholars, those who do not even believe in religion, that what is the definition of society?
Yes.
Usually they refer to the geographical borders or things like this. Or maybe they refer to culture of some civilizations of special parts of the world, and they divide the world in this way. But when it comes to Quran, there is no border of time, no border of place.
True.
Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha says, "Innama yajma'u an-nas as-sakhatu war-ridha." The criterion for some people to be together, to be one ummah, is their likes and dislikes.
True.
So if you have same likes and dislikes with other people, you are in one society. Even though you are living in two poles away, very different parts of the world, wherever yes. you are, with same likes and dislikes, you are in one society, you are one ummah. And sure. it is very interesting that from Quranic perspective, even the borders of time
yeah.
is passed in here, and they are
transcended.
And we are beyond even the borders of time.
True,
I mean.
True.
For example, you see, when it comes to Jews, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking to the Jews of his own time.
Yeah.
Quran says, "Why did you kill the prophets if you are truthful?"
Yes.
The Jews of the time of the Prophet Muhammad didn't kill any prophet.
True.
Their parents, their grandparents, their ancestors, maybe 2,000 years ago, they did such a thing.
Yeah.
But Quran doesn't say that your parents killed them. It says yes. you killed them.
He's
why?
He's addressing the Jews of his time.
Of his time. Why? Yes. Because they were pleased with what their ancestors did.
True.
When you are pleased with somebody's action, it is as if you have done it yourself.
True.
There is a story that once one of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam told him in one of the battles that my brother wished to be with you.
True.
In this battle. Imam said, was his heart with us? He said, yeah. Imam said, most part of my army are not born yet.
True.
Means they will come in the future, but they yes. have the same likes and dislikes of me.
Yes.
If they have the same likes and dislikes of we, it is as if we live in one in one house, in one home, in one society, in one place.
True.
You know, that is why, you know, when you look at the concept of Ahlul Bayt, household of the Prophet are not on those who have blood relationship with the Prophet.
True.
Salman is from household. Salman is from Iran.
Yes.
Why? Because he follows whatever Prophet did. Same likes and same dislikes. Salman is from the family. If yes. a person is from has a blood relationship with the Prophet, but he doesn't have the same likes and dislikes, he's not from the household.
Yes.
So what brings people together from, according to our hadith and Quran, from Quranic perspective and Quranic vantage point, is that when people have same likes and dislikes, no matter when and where
yeah.
they live, they are in one society, they are one nation.
Yeah.
So when we are speaking about Ummah, it's not only those people who are living now.
Yes.
People during the history, even all those people, we all are one nation. We
yeah.
all are united together.
Sure.
See how strong is the concept of notion and nation here.
Yes. Thank you very much. So that was once again a very nice hadith from our Imam. So what we discussed up until now with this concept of a united community, and I guess what I understood from what you said was that what truly unites a community, or causes disputes amongst them are their likes and their dislikes, or in other words, their goals, for example, because those likes are going to, you know, result in those goals at the end of the day. So now I'm going to point out this this question that is probably it's a more of a specific question, but I'm sure that some of our dear viewers are dealing with it, and that is the matter of unity amongst Shias themselves. Okay. We spoke about unity in general, and inshallah in the next program we'll elaborate a lot more on how we're supposed to carry out this unity. What are the obstacles and what other things should we do to carry this out? But if you could please elaborate on this topic of you know, unity amongst Shias themselves and what our religion has to say in this regard, please.
Unity among Shia is in the specific term. For us it has it is of a more importance, surely, no doubt about it. Or imams, the imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, they emphasized a lot on this point. There are lots of ahadith mentioned that if you want to help us, if you want to be with us, the very first thing that you have to do is to be together, is to visit each other. Just this visiting, just shaking hands.
Yes.
The lots of rewards are mentioned just for visiting your brothers and sisters in faith.
Yes.
And those who have the love of Ahlul Bayt in their hearts.
Yes.
There is a story that one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, his name is Mufazzal.
Yes.
Once he was passing from some place and he saw two Shia, they were fighting, and there were a dispute among them, between them. He went and asked and said, what's the matter? He said, this is my brother-in-law, and he says that you have to give my the heritage of my my wife to her, and we believe that she has nothing to do, nothing to give her, and dispute
there
like this.
Dispute.
Yeah.
True.
Mufazzal said, I don't want to know who is right, who is wrong.
Yes.
How much is the money that you are fighting for?
Yes.
They said, for example, that amount of dirham or dinar.
Yeah.
He paid the money to them and said, you are fighting for this money.
Yeah.
I give it to you, then there is no reason to fight.
Yeah.
So shake hand and kiss each other.
So it was this important that he paid them to just to, you know, end this dispute, and regardless of who might be right and who
and when
might
they
be
wanted
right.
to left when
yes.
they wanted to left, he said, wait a moment. He said, I'm not giving this money from my own pocket.
Yes.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has given this money to me. And he said, whenever you see there is a dispute among Shia because of money, use this
to bring them
together.
Thank you very much.
To make them to be together.
Yes. So it's interesting. It's interesting how the Imam has set aside money just for this purpose, to make sure that he is taking care of this problem. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and then we'll carry on with the discussion. Please stay with us.
Came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light of love. Now all I want is to be with you. Oh, my one true love taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mustafa,
Mustafa. Came to me in a time of despair. I called on you, you were there. With love, what would my life be? To not know the unseen, the worlds between. For you I'd sacrifice, for you I'd give my life, anything just to be with you. So lost at times. with you.
اللهم صل على سيدنا مصطفى
مصطفى
على حبيبك نبيك مصطفى.
Thank you for staying with us until now. Here I was browsing website. First I have Imam Khamenei's verdict and Islamic solidarity. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, world Shia leader, bans any insult to the companions of the Holy Prophet as well as his wives. He said it was incumbent on all Muslims to try to keep inner Muslim unity and no dispute between different Islamic sects should be allowed to harm the unity of Islamic community. In fact, the founder of Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Imam Khomeini, said one who calls himself such a name, Shia or Sunni, is not in fact Muslim. The Shia and Sunni go to the same mosque and are allowed to teach their own school of thought to their followers. All are united on the same leader, the same religion, the same noble Quran, the same prophet, the same Kaaba, and the same Qibla. We also have Muslim unity is not an option, it's an obligatory duty. Understand that Muslim unity is not an option. In other words, Muslim unity is wajib. According to Noble Quran and tradition, the Messenger of Allah, we have some of the verses and sayings. Allah says in the Noble Quran, the believers are but a single brotherhood. Make peace and reconciliation between your two brothers and fear Allah so that you may receive mercy. Chapter 49, verse 10. We also have Messenger of Allah said, it's not permissible for two Muslims to be annoyed and angry for more than 3 years. Messenger of Allah said, when Muslims are angry with each other for 3 days, if they do not compromise, then they go away from the limits of Islam, and the one who compromise first will enter paradise earlier. Brother Mahdi.
Thank you very much, Brother Abbas Munfarid. So inshallah, we don't have much time left. We're going to carry on with the discussion. One very important question that we're going to ask here. That question is the elements of unity from the Islamic point of view. So if you could please elaborate on that.
I told you that the criterion for one nation, to have one nation,
yes,
is their likes and dislikes.
True.
So these elements are these likes and dislikes, the elements that make faith.
Yes.
The things that when you like, you are one nation.
Yes.
So when you look at these elements that Quran mentions, you see all Muslims, all denominations in Islamic field, they all believe in it. So they all are regarded to be one nation from Quranic perspective. The first thing is to believe in one God, or Tawheed. This is very excellent verse.
Yes.
I want you to listen carefully. Verse 163, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Your Lord is one. لا إله إلا هو. There is no God but Him. And after that says, هو الرحمن الرحيم. He is the merciful. He is the beneficent. So you all believe in one God. And what is the quality, what is the most important characteristic of this God?
True. It's
Rahman al-Rahim.
True.
And you know, Rahman, it is difficult to translate Rahman al-Rahim to merciful and beneficent.
Yeah.
Rahman is the one who has blessings, who he bestows his blessings to everything and everyone, no matter good or bad.
Yes.
And Rahim is the one who has a special kind of blessing and Rahman for believers.
True.
This is the difference between Rahman and Rahim.
Yes.
So you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses on this. You believe in this God.
True.
Your God has this attribute of being kind to all, and to have a special kindness for believers.
True.
And says you all believe in this God. Your God is like this. So how can you believe in this God and not be like Him? Not to have this attribute of being kind to all, and then to have a special kindness for believers.
True.
You know, very interesting in Quran that, you know, we believe that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in any chapter is one of the verses of Surah.
Yes.
So you see, we have 114 chapters in Quran. 113 chapters have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim
at the beginning of them. Sure.
Only one chapter lacks this, and it is because it is a kind of warning.
Yes.
For those who were betraying Muslims. You want to use Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as a kindness, so it loses the effect of warning them.
Yes.
So you can't use Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim here. But you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one other chapter uses Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then Quran has 114 chapters, 114 Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Yes.
And the interesting point is even in that chapter that there is no Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't use any other attributes for himself.
Yes.
You know, Allah is Jabbar, the one who punishes, for example, the oppressors, the wrongdoers. But he doesn't say, for example, Bismillah ar-Qasim al-Jabbarin. In the name of Allah, the one who, for example, breaks or brings down the oppressors.
Yes.
In fact, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to say, I either use this attribute as a definition for myself, or I don't use any other attribute at all.
Yes.
So you see, the most important characteristic of Allah
is that which compassionate, is being compassionate
to all,
and being
and to have a special one kind of blessing and kindness. Yes. To believers.
Yes.
So Allah says, you believe in this.
Yes.
And you have to be like this.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sheikh Agha Muhammadi. I'm not sure if we have enough time for another question from our dear brother, Sheikh Saad Kulaini. I would like to thank him for being with us in this program. Unfortunately, we're out of time. There was one question that particularly I wanted to ask from our dear guest from the United States. But thank you very much, Sheikh Kulaini, for being with us. Inshallah, in the following programs, inshallah, we will benefit from the answers that you were posing to our questions. Thank you very much for being with us. I would also like to thank our dear guest here in the studio, Sheikh Agha Muhammadi, who provided answers to our questions, and my brother Abbas Munfarid, who helped us with carrying out today's discussion. More than anyone else, I would like to thank you, dear viewers, for being with us throughout the program. And please let us know about your comments, your suggestions, and your opinions about the program. That'll help us make the program a program that you will enjoy more and more, inshallah. Thank you for being with us. Until another program, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.